Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Kingsters Attic podcast. I am back with another episode. I know I've been recording episodes like mad in the recent 2 months, and hopefully I can get more episodes to you all on a regular basis. I know there was a big, huge lull in between. I don't know when that was, probably November or December, but it looks like I'm making up for that. So hopefully you are all enjoying these episodes. And to any newcomers, welcome. So anyway, moving on, my guest for episode 29 is Jenna. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
So we have talked a bit before the recording began, basically, you know, how I run this podcast, et cetera. So why don't you give my listeners like an introduction to like who you are and what you do as far as like your kink aspect or fetish aspect?
Yeah. So I'm kind of what, I don't know who calls it that. I call it being a lifer. I don't know if I started that or if it's just kind of been around, but I've basically, you know, kind of been into tickling like my entire life. And, you know, I did the typical thing growing up and being confused as to why I was so intrigued by this. I didn't really, you know, do it or like it being done. I just was very, very interested. You know, would Google it and look it up in the dictionary and all that stuff. And then I lurked online for a while, just kind of talking to people. Never really had the, I guess, I don't want to say balls, but like just always kind of being really nervous to kind of get out there and start meeting people. No reasons other than just my own anxiety around it.
Well, even anxiety is well worth it though, because you never know who's out there.
Oh yeah, totally. But I was just, I guess like in denial was a good, like I'd be like, nah, this isn't a fetish. This is just kind of a weird thing that I'd like, whatever. I don't, you know. And I never really explored it.
I get what you mean.
Yeah, I didn't really like explore it. You know, I just kind of was like my own little secret. You know, dated very vanilla-y. And then once I like pretty much turned 30, I was like, you know what? Like, this is a part of my life and I want to get involved. So I went to my first gathering, which was Nest, and met a ton of people. And, you know, just was like, wow, like I, you know, it's more than just a kink. There's like a whole community out here. And I, you know, I met some of my best friends. And as they say, the rest is history. I've met so many people, my partner included, and I've gone to, you know, dozens of different events and have met so many people and have had so many great experiences. I've branched out to doing a little bit of content here and there. And it's really just, it's become like a huge part of my life. You know, and not just the kink side of it, but just education about the community and growing it and making sure people are safe. And it's just been, you know, it's given me a lot, and I try to give back where I can.
Believe it or not, you were talking about Nest. This year will be my first time at Nest.
Very cool.
I have never been there.
Yeah. It's a good time. I mean, people, you know, I always say it's not for everyone, because I hear people that are like, oh, I don't want to go because it's too big, or it's going to be too clicky, or it's just going to be weird or whatever. And you know, that's fine. It's not for everyone. But it is a great way to meet people. It's the largest tickle only focused event. And there are plenty of others. So like, if Ness is not your thing, by all means, like research something else, you know? But I've been to, I think, 4 or 5 so far. And it's, you know, it's a great time. So I'm excited for you. I hope you have a good time.
Yeah. A friend of a Discord friend of mine actually convinced me in going. Like he was telling me about it. I found it rather intriguing and interesting. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of on the fence about it, but he also said that they had like limited tickets and stuff. So like, if I wanted to go, I should probably buy it earlier rather than later, especially with like a discount, he said.
Yeah. I don't know if they actually like have a cutoff, but it's like the longer you wait, the more expensive it can potentially get.
Yeah, when I went to the site to register, there was a cutoff date. I forget when it was, but I was able to get a percentage off.
Nice. Yeah, so that's coming up. Since that should be a good time. It's the, like I said, the largest tickle only focus, not the largest kinky man, obviously. But the one that's typically the biggest, like that's just tickle fo focus. There's usually about 170 people. I think at its max there was like 200, and that was right before COVID.
From my understanding of it, it looks like it would be like a switch's paradise. Because I'm a switch mostly. I'm like a
Me
switch that
too.
leans. Like in recent years, I've leaned more like dom slash lure, but I'm also a switch because like I will still want to get tied up and tickled, but not like with health reasons. A few years ago, I did have COVID, and that's changed my chest. And my first session as a Lee post COVID, I kind of had to take like multiple breaks because I just couldn't breathe normally from laughter.
Oh, that's a shame. But yeah, you can, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Hopefully that'll kind of clear up. But yeah, it's like you have to kind of adjust that, do different types of tickling so that maybe it's not as like aggressive for like laughing or whatever, more like sensual stuff. But yeah, hopefully that comes together for you. But yeah, I'm a switch as well. I kind of started off like 100% as a Lee. But I'm like, as I said before, a very anxious person. So like, even though that's kind of what I gravitated towards, it made me very anxious because you're putting your trust into this person and you're making yourself vulnerable. And it was just something that like, even though I liked it, it made me kind of uncomfortable. So I was very hesitant to play, and I would only play with like a select few people. And then I found that, well, my partner's a switch, so like I would start switching with him, and I liked it. And I found that I didn't have as much anxiety around that, so I kind of started switching more and like, learning more. And now I'd say I'm probably 50-50, if not a little more lure leaning, which is interesting to start as like a 100% Lee and kind of be now like on the lure side.
I tell people that I'm a switch, but my switch has like an asterisk to it because it depends so much. Like with females, I could basically tickle or be tickled by almost any female. Like I don't mind that. With guys, it becomes more detailed and selective.
Yeah, that's okay.
Like my ideal lure would be like an older guy having me like tied up for it, and that would be a lot more interesting. If I'm a lure though, I would like, as far as like, I don't know, like I say that I have an age range, but when I say that, people get upset.
I don't think so. I don't like when people like, you like what you like. I mean, the only time I find it a little like weird is if like a someone who is much older will only play with like people who are much, much, much younger. Then it's like, all right, but no, at the end, like I'm in my mid-30s, and I don't typically play with like people who are under maybe like 25.
Yeah, I would do like maybe, so I wouldn't mind doing 18 or 19, but mostly 20s. So I would say like early 20s to like maybe late 30s if I
Yeah, I
had
mean,
to.
it's like similar. I don't have like an age cutoff. Like if we get along, we get along. I've been tickled with people, in their 50s. It's just you tend to vibe better with the people that are your age. I don't think that's that
Oh
weird.
yeah. I'm not saying that I wouldn't tickle, older, but I on from what I've seen in the past, from what I like, that's where I typically would range to. At least from my past experiences with people. Yeah. So you were saying about like how you were interested into tickling when you were younger, and then I assumed that like it grew as you got older.
I mean, I was definitely like, I feel like this is fairly common, like especially people that have, liked it
Oh,
their
it
entire
is.
life.
Yeah.
Yeah, lifers. Or it's like you're real like intrigued of like a cartoon or like some, that I used to look it up in the dictionary. And I didn't even like recognize that it was like a fetish. It wasn't a sexual thing really until I probably was in my like 20s. It was just an interest. It was just like, this is cool. This is fun. This is, I like watching this, I think that's probably part of the reason why, like, I took so long to, like, start getting involved, because I was in such a denial that it was, like, actually a fetish. I thought it was just an interest, like, so much so, honestly, that, like, after I went to my first event, I was talking to someone that I had met, and he was just like, I don't even know how it came up. He asked about, like, my genital fetish, and I was like, no, I don't have one. He was like, what are you talking about? Like, we literally met at a tickle fetish event. And I was like, yeah, but, like, I don't really have a fetish. And he was like, yes, you do. And I was like, that's kind of, like, when it hit. And I was like, oh, I guess I do. And then I was, like, still kind of in denial. But at this point, I was like, no, like, whatever.
Well, the meaning of any kind of fetish can really change depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, even though, like, the textbook definition would be, like, any non-sexual object causing arousal or something, like the textbook definition.
Yeah,
it's really very fluid, though.
Oh yeah, totally. Because it's like, it's like 3,000-foot view. It's like, yes, it's a sexual thing, but, like, it doesn't have to be. I play platonically with most, you know, people, and it doesn't ever get to that. But it's still a, you know, there's always, like, a sexual undertone.
Oh yeah, even with my, you know, even with my friends who aren't into fetishes and stuff like that, you know, I've still played and tickled them, but yeah, it hasn't been, like you said, you know, a sexual experience, yeah, though.
And it's easy to, like, turn, for me at least, it's easy, I mean, maybe not for everyone, but for me, it's easy to turn it off. Like, it won't be a sexual thing if it's, like, with a friend, or, you know, it's you can, exactly, turn it off just depending on the situation. And
sometimes, sometimes non-kinksters or fetishists don't get that, though. Mm-hmm. They think just because you have it, you're always thinking about that.
Right.
And which is not true. Not true.
Yeah.
Not like, I can't tell you how many people that I've seen who find out about, like, you know, my foot fetish or my tickle fetish, and they always think, okay, so you're always going to stare at my feet. Oh, you're always going to want to tickle me. And it's like, well, no, not necessarily.
Yeah. Like, not, yeah, it's not, it's really no different than, like, anything else. Like, if you like boobs, like, it doesn't mean you want to touch or see everyone's boobs all the time. That's all you think about. Like, it's
exactly, or crotches. You're not looking at everyone's bulge, you know.
Right.
it's very, I don't know. That's why I think that there needs to be more, like, education on kinks and fetishes.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many, like, old stereotype concepts about so many different kinks and fetishes that, you know, people just assume that's the norm, and it's not.
Yeah. And especially because whenever something negative comes from it, which, let's face it, there are a lot of weirdos that
oh yes, kinks. Yes, yes.
And so whenever something negative comes out, it's just like, and that's all of you. And it's like, no, it's not. Like, we don't all sniff people's feet on the subway, I promise.
Oh yes, yes, yes. So I had a few peers growing up that found out that I had a foot fetish, bondage kink, tickle fetish, and their first gut reaction was, okay, so you're gonna have me bound and gagging in your basement against my will then. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
They think I'm, you know, they think anyone who's like that is gonna be a creep that's just gonna, like, grab them one day and, yeah, do whatever.
And it's not. And especially, like, and I can't generalize, and I can't speak for everyone, obviously, but I feel like as more people have more kinks and it becomes more acceptable and there is more access to it, like, those weirdo stories will become less and less, because I'm only in my 30s, I'm not that old, but, like, I remember hearing stories from, like, the 90s where, like, you didn't have any, like, there wasn't a way to connect with the stuff, so people kind of did have to, like, resort to more weird stuff because, yeah, there was no other outlet. And I don't know, like, how true that is, but I've just heard stories from, you know, well, some older, like,
community, well, someone, members.
And, you know, it's like, I have, yeah, a friend who's like, yeah, I would just tickle girls in the bar because that's all that I had. And, like, luckily he was, like, a young looking guy. So, like, you know, he kind of get away with it. But, like, he says now, he's like, I wouldn't do that now. But, like, then that's all I had. I'm like, okay.
Well, a queer fetishist that I had on a few months ago did tell me pre-internet, they did have, like, ads and, like, sex magazines. Mm-hmm. Like, it was rare, but they were out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see some of that. Like, if you, like, really dig deep into, like, old school internet stuff, they'll have, like, those little ads, I guess, in, like, the different magazines. And, yeah, people, you know, people that didn't have access to the internet when they were a teenager, I guess people that are, like, maybe Gen X or older, It was like, yeah, they would see an ad like that, and that was it. And now it's like, I look at, like, you know, these people, I guess the Gen Zers, like the 18, 19, 20 year olds, and they have access to all of it. Like, you don't know how lucky you are. Like,
I'm, they also lucky. Don't know stuff too. So my brother and I are both millennials, obviously.
Mm-hmm, same.
And his wife has nieces and nephews, and he was talking to one of his nieces about dial up, and she's like, "What's dial up, Uncle Elliot?" And he was like, "Oh my God, I want to die." Because he didn't think he was that old.
I think about, like, all of the, like, and this is weird to talk about, like, a fetish and, like, underage people, but the people that are like 10, 11, 12 now that are, like, just starting to, like, discover, like, the internet, I guess, or, like, being able to, like, you, well, know,
to be honest,
right,
we all,
like, Googling it.
To be honest, though, you know, the majority of us probably did that when we were younger. You know, I remember I was like 15, 16.
Oh yeah, I was probably younger than that. But I guess like, I just more mean like, you know, you would Google it and you would just be like, oh, cool. Cause like there wasn't really a huge community for that.
Yeah.
And if there was, it was all for people over 18. And now it's like, good and bad, I'm not really sure, but it's like, there's so many.
I think it's worse, to be honest.
Oh, so I hope that people won't feel as alone, I guess, is more
okay,
what I mean.
So,
like,
so here's my issue with this. Mm-hmm. I used to have a feet and bondage Instagram profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just me, myself, you know, not doing anything sexual, just, you know, showing my feet, showing occasional light bondage. So
did you get banned?
Yes, I got shadow banned. I got shadow banned, meaning I could not create a new account for a long time.
Yeah.
Yet, you know what I also had? I had 13 and 16-year-olds asking me if I want to buy feet pics.
Oh, gross.
But it gets worse. It gets worse. So I report the profiles, and they do nothing.
Yeah, that's wild.
Because it still came up in my recommended list, and I'm like, obviously, if it's still coming up in my recommended list to follow, it's they haven't resolved the issue. So how come I was deleted? Someone in over 18 who's just showing off their feet, and someone who's under age who's trying to sell content is not getting banned. This is,
and they were
effed
they were
up.
Underage trying to sell content.
Yes, oh, this is effed gross. Up. But why? Like, why am I banned? Someone over 18 who's just showing off his feet. Yet we have that, and it's not being addressed and banned. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, Instagram is, because I've because I do like some like content and stuff. So like I was trying to, like, you know, get on Instagram and promote stuff, and they immediately shut me down. And then I kept trying to make accounts. They shut one of my accounts down before I even posted anything, like just from the IP.
Oh yes, yes, yes. So a few months ago, I made an account. No, it was 2 years ago. It was after my first one was banned. I waited a few months and I started it again. Not even less than half a week later, it was removed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't even post. Like, I didn't even post anything, and they took it down. And I got nervous because, like, I'm in charge of my work social media. And I was like, oh, like, I don't want to get, like, my IP, like, involved in this kind of stuff. So I just stopped with Instagram altogether.
I think it goes by computer, because when I got a new laptop, I was able to create a new Instagram page for my feet stuff without a problem. So I think it goes by computer. Like, it recognizes your computer, because whenever I got a new one, I was able to do it and I was no longer shadow banned.
Oh, interesting. Okay, good to know. Well, I don't even want to bother with Instagram. It makes me too nervous, like, just the way that the algorithm is. I actually, I'm so paranoid that I have a separate phone that I use for, like, Twitter, because I'm like, you know, I have my, like, a separate Twitter account. I have a separate Tumblr account, and I use a separate phone for all of that. I didn't go out and buy one. I just happen to have an old one. I'm not that crazy.
Oh yeah, yeah. For my Instagram one, I keep it on my laptop. I don't even do like, I know on your phone you could switch between accounts. I don't.
Yeah, it makes me too nervous, because, like, even like with the algorithm, like, I don't want any of my feed stuff coming up on, like, a friends that they come over to.
Yes,
visit,
exactly.
Like,
that's my fear.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, even like, I have people that, and I tell my friends this, like, from the kink community, like, they'll try to follow me on Instagram, like, from their vanilla accounts, and I'll look, and if they follow any kink,
I hate
stuff,
that.
I'm like, nope.
Yes, I hate that. That annoys me to no end.
Yeah, it connects it. So I'm like, if you're like, I'm very picky and choosy about who I, like, follow on social media for that reason.
Yeah, on both of my accounts, my vanilla account and my kink account, you cannot follow me unless I accept your request.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you'll see, like, I'll start to see, like, cause I was like letting like friends follow me. Then I started to see like vanilla people popping up, and like vice versa. Like on my kink one, I would see vanilla stuff, and on my vanilla one, I would see kink stuff. And I'm like, nope. So I had to like go in and mess around with that. I'm like, I just don't want any crossover. Not that any, like at this point in my life, I don't care that much. Like I'm, you know, my 30s and I, whatever, but it's just not something that I feel like dealing with.
Yeah. That's understandable. I can relate to that. Yeah, it's I know, it kind of goes back to the whole king shaming we were talking about before.
Yeah,
you know, like you never know. Yeah. Like, okay, what are my vanilla friends gonna think if they find, you know, a page that I follow in which a girl or a guy is bound and gagged or just showing off their feet?
Yeah, and like I'm in a weird spot where it's like I said, like I come from a fairly progressive area, and like I don't think anyone would care, but it's just my friends are ball busters and they would use any excuse to get drunk and make fun of me.
That's not necessarily true. So I once knew this really progressive girl that was fine with, you know, she was fine with bondage, she was fine with web, she was fine with the most weird, like kinkiest things. But the one thing she refused to talk about was a foot fetish.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm thinking, girl, you said that you like all these weird stuff, and you're saying that
that's my so funny.
Foot fetish is.
But it's like kind of, there's truth to it, because like I'm a little bit involved in just like the general kink scene. It's not, there's nothing that I really like. There's nothing in the kink scene that is like tickling with me. But I've gone to munches here and there, and I've gone to a few play parties just to kind of meet people. And it's so funny because like the second, you know, I'll see someone like getting whipped and bloody and needles and stuff that I wouldn't get, and like, you know, they find out that like tickling is my kink, and they're like, oh no, that's a limit for me. Just like, why? Like, you were, I mean, it's each their own, but I'm just like, you're bleeding, like you're literally bleeding. You're black and blue.
Sounds like they were like a pain slut or something.
Yeah. Which is like, for me, I'm like, I don't like I said, I like other kink stuff, but like I refuse to do anything that's painful or leaves bruises. So it's just,
oh no, I don't do bruises, I don't do fluids.
Same. Yeah, which is kind of what makes like going to kink stuff hard, because that's most of the people there, not all, but most are into, you know, impact. It's kind of like the theme, and it's not really something I'm into. So it's like I went to them for a little bit, but it kind of was like
I don't, and I also don't do so some foot fetishists also love like foot torture, and I'm not into that.
What, like bastino,
like
whatever it's called.
Oh no, worse than bastinado. It's bastinado. Called, but worse, that. Worse than that, worse than that. Yeah. No, so there are some that like to do candle wax dripping.
Oh no, see, I like.
that looks painful to me.
Yeah, well, it depends. I've done it a little bit. I'm actually supposed to actually do a demo at NAS with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But it's because I don't like paint, so you have to know, like you have to hold it up at like a certain amount so it's not as hot, but not kind of like wax play is cool, because for me, like, that's not like a pain thing, it's not like a impact, it's more of like sensation,
like for as far as like I can deal with watching it, like if it's mixed in with other stuff, I that's fine with me, but as far as me doing it to someone or someone doing it to me, that's a pass.
Interesting.
Like I don't mind if it's done mixed in with other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like one of the few things that I'll actually do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I could see how someone could like that.
Yeah.
But a part of me is like, okay, I would like I would emotionally feel their pain from that. Yeah. And I would be like, yeah, I can't do this to a person.
But I'm also big, like I like aesthetics of stuff. So like for me, I'm like, oh, it's so cool looking. Cause like sometimes you'll see like the cool patterns and like glow in the dark and stuff.
Oh yeah, it does look cool looking. Yeah. It's just like I could never bring myself to do that to someone, though. Even though it looks cool, I'm fine with just watching.
That's good. I mean, that's good that you know. And like, kind of like similarly, like I don't like to receive pain. Like I won't do impact like play, but like I'll top for it, which I don't do that often, and I don't pretend to even remotely be like a expert, but like I'll play around with a little bit with someone who's okay with me not being an expert, you know. I'll never tell someone like, yeah, I'm an impact top, because I'm not even remotely close.
Yeah,
so I'm like vice versa. I'm like, I won't I don't like receiving pain, but like I'll dish it out a little bit.
I think it's for many kinksters, but at least for me, I always say that I have a vanilla mind and a kink mind, and whatever my vanilla mind was would be like, no. My kink mind is like, oh my God, yes. So it's like that veil between like, okay, part of me is like, this is kind of iffy, but my kink mind, as it were, is like, oh, this looks interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's very weird. It's like, it's almost like a, I hate to call it this, but it's like a Jekyll Hyde kind of thing. As it were.
Yeah. Like, that's funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your opinion on that or something?
I don't think I really have one. I mean, I get it. I don't necessarily think I have that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it also depends on how open someone is with their kinks too.
Yeah.
I kind of, because I keep my kinks in the shadows, as it were, you know, I'm a little bit more, like I analyze situations more because I have to hide that side of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do, there is something to be said for like, you see the people that they're just out and they don't care. And I'm like, good for you. Like,
mm-hmm.
because you're kind of able to be a little bit more free with it without like, being nervous about being outed or whatever. Like, I do content a little bit, but like I don't show my face, and like I'm very
exactly
careful with like where I put it because I don't want it to get out there. And if I, you know, there's some people that are just like, I don't care, my friends, my family know, whatever. It's like, good for you, because they don't have that like extra layer of nervousness that comes with, you know, this.
Well, yeah. So, you know, some of my friends and family members know about some of my kinks, but not all of them, and mm-hmm. I don't really tell them that much. So like
I feel kind like of try I mean to... it's really not it's no one's business. I mean, I'm envious, and I think it's awesome if you're someone who's just like, I don't give a shit. But at the same time, you're on the flip side, it's like it's no one's business, you know. So it's like
exactly
catch 22 kind of.
Well, yeah, like, you know, like some of my family members and some of my friends, you know, they know about my foot fetish. Most don't know about my bondage fetish, but they know that, you know, I like feed. Some know that I like to tickle people. But I also don't, I don't put them too far down the rabbit hole, as it were, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. I think, well, what's your opinion on that or something? You were saying about, like, you know, trying to remember, I don't know, like about not going too far down the rabbit hole.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like I said, you know, like what I said was that some of my friends and some of my family members do know about my kinks and fetishes, I don't like to tell them too much about it, because I think they just spiral down a long rabbit hole to where they'd get confused or scared or something.
Well, it's not really their business, you know. Like you shouldn't have to explain. Well, one, it's like you can't really help it. Like if you have a kink, you have a kink. Like you know, to quote Lady Gaga, like you're for the most part you're born this way. So like you shouldn't, you know, as long as you're not doing anything wrong with it, really shouldn't apologize for having it. You shouldn't be made to feel bad about having it, you know. And I said before, at the end of the day, it's no one's business. Like if you don't run around asking people what they do in the bedroom, like you don't owe that to anyone except your partners.
Yeah, although I do think that I got a friend's sister into being kinky with her feet.
Mm-hmm. But that's
which is odd.
Well, there's a way to consensually and non-creepily tell people.
Yeah.
And then there's, and I've heard stories where people are like, you know, I want to tell a partner, I want to tell whatever. And like I said before, I don't think you should ever have to tell anyone except a partner, you know, because it's not your friends or your family's business. But for partners, I get it. You know, you should be honest with them. And for there's so many people that don't, like, I've never told previous partners. And I mean, we break up, but yeah. There's so many people that are too nervous too, and they don't, and they just kind of keep it their little secret. And I feel really bad for them, for both people, because one, you have to hide a big part of your sexuality. And then two, you know, as the partner, you unknowingly aren't satisfying your partner, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I actually converted. So my cousin has this friend who has a sister, and it was one summer, like, they invited her over to meet with me. And unfortunately, you know, because my family knows about, you know, my foot fetish, as it were, because I think there's a foot fetish gene in my family, but that's another story.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, so yeah, so I have nieces and nephews that are around my age. So, like, my niece, who is exactly my age in her 30s, you know, she tells her friend's younger sister, who's in her 20s, oh yeah, he likes feet, so you should probably show him your feet and stuff like that if you want, you know. And so we became friends, and she kind of, I don't know, she kind of got into it for some reason, even though she doesn't have, like, the kink.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's real easy, especially if you like someone, you know, they like, I would say I don't really have a foot fetish, but I like playing around, and if I know people like it, then I, you know, it's fun to, like, tease and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, it could be for any kink, but I was using foot fetish as an example.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, it almost got to the point where I think she enjoyed, like, she almost got this like goddess/mistress kind of attitude with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, did I just open up a can of worms for her?
Yeah, that's cool though. I mean, and there's a lot of stories, like, where people, I mean, I've met people in the kink, in the kink community, or in the toko community, and they're, you know, they were brought by a partner, and they're not even necessarily with that person anymore, but they're still, like, involved because they enjoy it, you know, that unlocked something in them. So a lot of people are, like, kind of warm with it, but a lot of people aren't, and they just kind of fall into it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, although it's so odd though, because, and, you know, I don't even believe this myself, but it did happen. So that friend that I told you about, that I had the fetish, you know, she has a twin sister too. And I remember they were trying to, one summer, we were all by a pool, and these two female fraternal twins were trying to see whose feet I liked the best. They wanted me to, like, rate them. Rate, not rape, rate.
Yes, yeah,
I have like, to, oh. I have to specific, yeah. Or AT, or AT.
Yes,
rate. Yes. Sadly, that sounds too much like, ugh.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, like, you know, number them from, like, you know, 1 to 10, et cetera. I remember, because I was so used to the one girl's feet over her twin sister, I rated her feet higher. The twin sister
don't
got,
do that.
so the twin sister, well, here's the thing. So that girl got really excited, and she was like, yay. And so what the twin did to her twin sister was actually pushed her into the pool, because they were by the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then she was like, yeah, I still remember what she said to me. So she pushes her twin sister into the pool. She's like, oh, I guess Eileen is too busy. And she just put her feet on my lap. And she's like, oh, well, I guess Eileen's too busy.
There you go.
And I'm like, wait, did I just cause this jealousy?
Every foot fetish is a dream.
Did I just cause this jealousy amongst
That's so funny.
I don't know. Like I don't think that they had the fetish, but I think my fetish was fueling their jealousy,
competition, twin competition.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't know, or maybe the only other thing that I can think of is because her twin sister really liked me, I think she just kept talking about me to her twin, and when her twin finally met me, maybe she got a little tired of it. Maybe
that's funny though. That's a cute story.
Yeah, it is. It is. I still can't believe it happened. I don't know. If I weren't there, I would not believe it myself.
It's like one of the stories that you read and you're like, it's not true.
Yeah, you had to see it to believe it. I don't know. It's just so. Well, another thing is what happened after that was, so she also has this one friend who is this really tall blonde, and she has these. So I kind of gravitate towards like bigger feet with girls for a foot fetish. And she has like these gorgeous, like 9.5 size 10 feet. And like I remember, like, you know, I would tickle her sometimes in the past, and she didn't have the fetish, but she wouldn't mind if I tickled her. She was completely fine with it. Like I said, her friends are rather open to this kind of stuff. So around the same time that I rated feet, the twin pushed her own twin into the pool. About a few weeks after that, she brings the blonde who was also there at that time to visit. It was still the summer. And she kind of tried to get me. So I knew her friend, this one blonde friend, for a few years now, and not once has she offered up her feet to me, or, you know, like I did tickle her a few times once, but she hated it. It was so out of character that she kind of was like, she put her feet on my lap and she was like, Chris, I kind of have like a soreness. I think I twisted my ankle or something. Do you think you could like massage them for me and see if you can find out what the problem is and stuff like that? So I'm thinking, okay, she just wants like a massage. That's normal. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, that's fine. So after that though, I don't know. She started acting not weird, but different. Like she was saying, oh yeah, you can, you can just keep them on your lap for how long you want it. And, you know, I don't mind if you smell them or something. And I'm thinking to myself, I have not once heard any of her friends say this. This is odd. So I'm thinking, you know, when I was, you know, rating all their feet from 1 to 10, you know, maybe she also didn't like that I rated that one girl's feet higher than hers. So she
unlocked some kind of competition.
Yeah, I think I started a competition amongst her friends. like they're like, okay, let's see what I can do to get a higher rating.
Yeah, girl, we can be competitive.
I never thought that would happen. I never thought that would happen.
It's funny, living the dream.
I don't know. I don't know. Like I don't know. Like do you? I assume that you said that you were a switch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I assume that you have probably teased ticklers in order for them to tickle you more in the past, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like, what are some things that you've done
I try not to do it aggressively, because I see some people that just do it and it's just like, oh my God, stop. Like, you're being annoying.
Well, not aggressively, but I'm talking about like subtly. Sometimes subtle is better.
And I wouldn't even say I do it on purpose. I think it's just my natural personality, because like people will be like, oh, you're being such a brat. Like, and I'm like, I'm not. Like, I'm just like talking or whatever. But yeah, I'm just in general, I'm just a very like snarky person, so it just kind of happens.
You know what, sometimes if you're a tickler, those kind of lees are the funnest to tickle, because, you know, like not that the ones who are like, you know, really submissive, you know, with tickling. Like, not that they're not fun, but sometimes it's good to have a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. I like somewhere in between. Cause like I said, if someone is too, like, I see people where they're like so bratty to the point where they're like insulting, and then I'm like,
yeah, that's
like,
too much.
I one up them, and then I'm like, I'm not going to, like, as a lawyer, I'm like, I'm not going to tickle you. Like, if you're going to be this annoying. So there is, yeah, like, fun, there's like a fine line, and I shouldn't say, I try not to cross it, but I'm sure I've been guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I've seen those kind of people too. And I'm like, okay, so if you don't want to be tickled, just tell me you don't want to be tickled.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like they're trying too hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's really kind of, I don't think I mean, you could probably ask other people. They probably have a better answer, but I don't think I really do too much.
Yeah.
I tend to, like, I kind of tend to learn a little bit more. So, like, I'm kind of the opposite now at this point, like, where I'm more likely to tickle someone.
Oh, so you're like, yeah, so you're like me, because as I got older, I became more of a lure than a lee, yeah, even though I'll still sometimes lee.
Yeah. No, totally. I started out like 100% lee, like luring,
same,
no interest, yeah, whatsoever. And then as I kind of got older, and like I was kind of telling you before, like my partner, you know, was a switch. So I like started off with tickling him, and then I was like, oh, this is like kind of fun. And it gave me a little bit less anxiety to be a lure, because like, I feel, you know, it's not as, even though there's a little bit more responsibility to make sure that, like, you know, the scene goes well and people are safe and stuff like that. Not all the responsibility, but a little bit more than when you're the lead. But, like, I found myself getting very anxious when I would lead, just because you're vulnerable and you're kind of put in this position, and it's,
yeah, definitely,
tiring. And, you know, I found myself getting, like, very nervous when I would lead. So I kind of forced myself to learn more. And now I'm at the point where I typically do it more, which it's, you know, you don't, female lures are a little more rare, I guess. So
someone,
I guess that's cool.
Yeah, someone on this podcast once told me that sometimes a switch makes a better lure than a 100% lure, because, yeah, they know what it's like for lees.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with it to an extent, but I know some people that are, I think it just depends on the person, because I know some switches that aren't, and I know some people that are strictly lures that either they've, yeah, I think it's a mixture of both, and I think it's just experience. You know, if you've been a lure for 10-15 years, you, because there are, oh, some, yeah, people that are just,
yeah, exactly,
like, there's not, I feel like most people are switches, even if they highly lean towards one, but I know very few people that are strictly lures, like they never even, and it's really only because they're not ticklish, like they're like, I've tried but it doesn't do anything, you know.
Although I heard that you can make yourself ticklish after a while.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I know some lures that are just like, no, like I've tried. It's,
well, when, know, I was younger, my feet weren't that ticklish, but as I got into my 20s, they were.
Interesting.
Or maybe I wasn't tickled right. That's the, yeah, thing.
Like, I'm kind of the opposite. Like when I was younger and like when I first joined the community, like I was like painfully ticklish, like to the point that also kind of was part of the reason for the anxiety, like because it was like too intense.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of had to train myself, which I like did the opposite of what most people are like, how do I make myself more ticklish? And I was like, no, like I want to be less ticklish. So I kind of trained myself to be. So like I'm still ticklish, but like I can control it better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to like, I was kind of, or maybe it was because, so I'm one of those people who believe that self-tickling doesn't work. At least on me, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's because, you know, when I was younger, I mostly did self-tickling. The only time I was really tickled once when I was younger was during a high school class one time. You know, I was like kicked up in flip flops, and this one girl next to me like took one of them off and started tickling me, and I was like, yeah, you know, that was like torturous. you know, apart from that though, you know, I haven't really had anyone really tickle me intensely until like my mid-20s.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, like like maybe I was always ticklish. I just haven't had someone to really, you know, like break it.
Get it out.
You know, my 20s.
Yeah, that could be definitely. Trying to think. Yeah, and it just it. And I think like maybe as you get older, or I don't know, people say like as you get older, you get less. I think it's just everyone just kind of depends. And like I know for me, like sometimes I'm like stupidly painfully ticklish where like I can't like I'll have to like stop sessions because I'm like this is too much. And there's sometimes where I'm like not as much. Like if I'm in a band, it's actually happens a lot for me at gatherings. Like if I'm on like the third day, because when you're at an event, like you're tired. You know, I like to have. Not so much that I, you know, get drunk or whatever, but I like to drink when I'm at events because they're like little parties. So like by the third day, I'm just like tired and overstimulated and overwhelmed. And I'll like actually joke, like I have to do all of my lean sessions at the beginning of gatherings because by the end of them, like I can't even feel anything. And I actually tried to do a video at like a recent gathering and... The producer was just like, I can't use any of this. Like, you're not even like reacting. I was like, I'm sorry. Like it just.
Hey, if you're tired, you're tired.
Yeah. No. So it just really depends. And then there's other times where like I'm like 10 out of 10 ticklish. So it just, people don't realize it. It's like, it's just like anything else. Like, you have to be in a certain, like, if someone that I don't like tries to tickle me, like, nope. Like, I can turn it off. Like, it's, if I'm tired, if I'm in a bad mood, like, it can fluctuate. And anyone who says it doesn't, I mean, they're lying.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's also similar, like, you know, like I've had people want to tickle me to wake me up. And I'm like, okay, so I my mood is not the best if I don't have caffeine or food in me in the morning.
Yeah.
So if you try to tickle me awake, chances are you're going to be kicked in the face.
Yeah. No, same. And I definitely like the being tickled awake fantasy, like videos or.
Oh yeah, as a fantasy, it's fun.
But don't actually do it because same, like don't touch me, I'm sleeping.
You know, like I don't want to accidentally kick you in the face though. Yeah. That's the thing. Like I wouldn't do, like I wouldn't kick intentionally. I would probably do it just as a reflex.
Yeah.
You know, it's so odd. So what I fantasize about is different from what I want reality to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause I'm definitely like, I like the idea of like, anonymous tickling and like, yeah, you know, tickle like child torture and stuff like that, but it's not anything I would ever actually want, you know, which I think
exactly. That's
common, which I think is why like videos and stories are good for that, because there are just some things that you can't do.
Well, yeah, it's also like, you know, not just with tickling with me, but also, you know, since I have a bondage fetish too, you know, it, one of my, like, as far as fantasy land, I would say, you know, one thing that would be hot would be, like, since I'm bi, would be, like, an older, like, daddy-type dom, you know, like tying me up when I, you know, still sleeping, and, like, I wake up, like, bound and gagged, like, that, fantasy-wise,
yeah, no,
that would get me going. But you know, totally, if it's the morning and I haven't eaten yet, I didn't have caffeine, I'm probably thinking, why the fuck did you tie me up? You know.
But so, yeah, so you can't do that like in real life. So
exactly.
That's why porn exists. I mean,
yes, but for some people, porn isn't enough.
Yeah. Well,
for me it is, but not for others.
Yeah.
I don't know. I once had someone who had a lot of experience with bondage and tickling, and he got kind of confused that there were some things that really turned me on fantasy wise, but that I would never do in reality. Mm-hmm. He thought that didn't make sense.
Well, I mean, there's things that legally he can't do.
Exactly.
Legally he shouldn't do.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, with some of my bondage fantasies, you know, yes, I would love, you know, an older guy to like tie me up and keep me in his basement. But in the reality of it, I would probably not.
Right. Yeah, no. 100%.
You know, there are some fantasies that just shouldn't be enacted.
Yeah, and there are some that you can't because it's illegal. So
yeah, plus yeah. Well, here's the thing that I think about fantasies, especially with bondage fantasies. You cannot, I don't care who you are, you cannot get 100% of your fantasy fulfilled.
Yeah, no, totally.
You can get to a certain percentage filled.
Yeah. Or you can role play some of it, but yeah.
Well, yes, but even with the role play, you can't, like, for instance, you know, if one of my fantasies is to be kidnapped and held in a basement, you know, of course that's not going to happen as far as, you know, complications with health and all, you know, all that stuff and general, you know, like what I'm trying to say is, like, even though you have these fantasies, it doesn't mean you want to enact all of them.
Right.
But I think, you know, if someone plays often, I don't think sometimes they understand that not everyone wants all of their fantasies fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's fun, like, because, like, there are certain things that I talk about liking and things that I would want to do. And then, you know, I have friends that are like, well, we could try that. And it's like, wanting to do it and actually doing it are two different things sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. So one common thing that comes up in this podcast of mine, oh my God. So I don't know if you've listened to past episodes or not.
I will have a chance though.
So one common story that I tell on this podcast is when I first started meeting up with guys in my 20s, there was this one guy, he's known on the podcast as the van guy. As I said before, one of my fantasies is like in my head, I would really love to be like act out like I'm kidnapped or something, like, you know, fantasy and safely, of course. But nothing too extreme, as it were. But this one guy who wanted to meet with me, who had the same fantasies, he wanted to take it a step further. He said that he had this van and he could like hog tie me in the back and he would like drive somewhere, you know, like, you know, like just drive around and then park somewhere and then like tickle me and, you know, do other things, you know, stuff like that. You know, to me, like, as far as like my kink fantasy, that would be perfect. But, you know, I also have to think about stuff and I'm like, wait, so I'm going to trust this guy to tie me up in a van and drive around.
Right.
I don't think so.
But in a, I mean, in a, you like, you could make something like that happen. Just don't do it with a stranger.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Well, this is another red flag that went up. Talk about kink safety. But, you know, so I thought, okay, it sounds a little weird, but I might be able to do it. So we're talking about where we would possibly meet. And, you know, I live in a rural area. You know, rather, you know, even though there's houses around, you know, there's woods, there's stuff, you know, there's hiking trails, etc. So, you know, I told him, okay, so if we do this, you know, I know this one place we can try. And I was telling him about it. And, you know, I live in like a country area. So I'm thinking it's fine because, you know, hardly anyone's around and stuff like that. To him, that wasn't remote enough, which put up red flags for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, something like that is that I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with that scenario, but it has to be with someone that you know very well and trust.
Exactly, like, and it has to be remotely safe.
If we wanted to do that, I would feel comfortable, but it's like, that's not something that I would...
Exactly, yeah.
Anyone should do with someone they don't know.
That's why I was like, you know what, I'm not going to do it, goodbye, I'm getting, no, thank you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if you change your mind, I'm here. And I'm like, okay, thank you, but no thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You just, it's like I said before, the line between fantasy and reality is very thin.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's kind of the good part too, about getting involved in the community and being people, is that you can get, you know, you can get to a point where you're comfortable and you can kind of play out some of those fantasies that you shouldn't do with strangers.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, it's strangers like that that give the kink community a bad name, because it paints the picture to non-kinksters like, see, they're all creeps.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, someone shouldn't be on both sides. Like, you want to keep yourself safe, but someone shouldn't be trying to do that with someone that they don't know on the flip side.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, especially if you haven't had a lot of play experience, I think you're just so eager.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
You will tend to agree with anything, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I've been online and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, I'm a woman in detailing, so I just get comments and messages all the time on every platform. And sometimes it's just people are just, and I empathize to an extent, but it's like people are just so excited and overzealous, you know, when they're someone who doesn't have experience.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know sometimes what you mean. I'm just like, this isn't how you do it. Like, you're not going to get good responses from this guy. Like, I'll have people like, no intro, no, hi, I'm so-and-so. It'll just be like, what would you do if I was under your desk right now? And just like, who the fuck are you? Like, go away.
And I find that too odd. I have guys ask me that.
Yeah.
There was this one guy that loves to be like a footrest with his face. And they're like, oh, I'm just imagining me at the bottom of your desk, just like you smothering me with your feet. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I don't really... I had one guy who even wanted to enact it in like a type role play. And I'm like, dude, how are we going to type role play you being a footrest for me?
Yeah.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah. And I like to play devil's advocate. Like, I like to, unfortunately, sometimes see the best in people. So, like, I just try to chalk it up to they just have fantasies and they don't have another outlet. And they're, at the end of the day, nice, normal people that would never do anything. It's just, this is their outlet. But
I mean, don't find
someone
else,
because I'm not going to indulge.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, if they were physically here in person, I wouldn't mind having their face be my footrest if they want to. But, you know, if we're like in a different state and we're talking on a computer or a phone, that doesn't make sense to enact that.
Yeah. Well, and my thing is like, that stuff doesn't bother me as far as them wanting to do it, but like, I'm very out there. Like, if you find my profile, like, I say that I don't role play, and I say that I, you know, talk to me like a human. Like, I have that stuff everywhere. So when people just blatantly ignore it, then that's kind of what hurts me, because it's like, I don't care if you want to pretend to be a footrest, but like, nowhere on my profile anywhere does it say that, like, I want you to do that, and please message me.
Oh, I've had worse. So in the gay kink community, in the gay kink community, there have been not everyone. I'm not stereotyping, but, you know, when I was in my 20s, I got a lot of messages from guys that just had demands on what I should do. Not even a hi, not even a how are you, not even they just automatically assume that you'll be submissive to them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, goodbye.
Yeah. And they get like butthurt when you don't.
Yes. And then I
always get that. Like, I thought you had a tickle fetish. And I'm like, I do, but I don't know you and I don't want to indulge with it with you.
Yes. And then they tell people, oh, don't play with this person. They don't like, you know.
Yeah. Or like, they do. Try to call me a catfish. And I'm like, sir.
Oh, Jesus.
Ugh. Yeah. But whatever. I said, I just chalk it up to desperation and, you know.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I try not to be judgmental, but at the same time, if stuff like this happens, I just can't, you know, I can't keep quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely, I have a secondary fetish for putting people in their place. So I'll definitely do it, especially if it's like, especially if it's something that's like questionable. But I also do like educating people. And sometimes, like I said, I think people are just so excited that to talk to someone. So in that instance, I kind of feel bad, but I do try to help people when I can with like how to properly indulge. And I definitely like, I've had some people be like, you're right. And like get involved and now they don't have to hide behind a keyboard, you know? But no, at the end of the day, like I do it unless they're like a really, really, really huge creep and they exist. I try to just feel bad for people as opposed to like chastise them.
To an extent.
There are some people that deserve it, but.
Well, yeah, I agree. There are some people who deserve it, but also, you know, it depends. Sometimes I can talk people through that. Other times I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. was there anything else you wanted to talk about, like your kinks or your thoughts about things?
I don't know. Is there any other like topic? I mean, I could talk about kink for days, but I'm not gonna bore people.
Okay. Yeah. Oh no, that's fine. Oh no, trust me. One time I had a podcast episode go close to 2 hours.
Ugh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, so, no, I could talk about kink for a long time because I'm just, you know, it's a big part of my life.
Okay.
I'm passionate about it, but.
Okay, well, okay, here's something. Okay. You said that you like bondage, right?
To an extent. I would say it's not a kink on its own, but.
So your main is tickling?
Yeah, I mean, if tickling is 95% of my kink.
Okay, so what would be, like, your top five tickle fantasy plays?
Oh gosh. I don't even know if I have five. I mean, and I'm lucky that a lot of them I've been able to fulfill. But I've always wanted to try to think. I definitely want to do something, and a friend of mine were like kind of in the works of doing this, but I like the idea of like being at like a general kink kind of thing where like they don't really know what, you know, too much about tickling kink and kind of being like a educational like demo for it, like a demo bottom.
You mean like a workshop?
Yeah, kind of, but which I've done for tickling people, you know, like, but there's something like cool about it, like just for like a general kink thing. So, and a friend of mine, we have been wanting to do it, it just hasn't, you know, lined up. So that's definitely on the list of things I want to do. Trying to think what else. I really want to do like a live stream like tickle session where like people can like, which I've actually done already, so I guess I cross that off. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like I've been pretty lucky that I've been able to kind of like I've, you know, all the usual, like I've gotten, you know, I've done gang clean stuff and I'm not really super into role play, so nothing with that really. I kind of like the idea and I call it like anonymous tickling, even though I don't know if I'd ever actually do it because like I'm very particular about who I play with, but like I like the concept of like being like hidden behind a wall or something like that, and like at a tickle event. Like I wouldn't really do that like in public. I find that kind of icky, even though I know that there's a niche for it, but like
you mean
a nest or something where it's just like
you're
just like in, you know, like behind a thing and people can just like kind of tickle you. It's kind of cool. I don't know.
Oh, you okay. So I saw pictures and artwork of this. So maybe it's something that you're similar to it. So something like maybe like their feet are out through a wall and the rest of their body is on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
And like people can just like tickle and they wouldn't know until it happens.
Exactly. So it's not something I think I would ever do because I am very particular about who touches me.
Yeah.
But I think in another world where I was a little more loosey-goosey about it, that would be cool.
Okay, yeah. Well, would you do it to someone else though? Like if you wanted to do like tickle them?
If like, I knew the person. I mean, same thing. Like, if I don't know someone, or I guess it just depends on who it was, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think. Like I said, I've been lucky. I've been able to do a lot of different stuff. Like, I go to events and I've done gang tickling and I take part in like the kidnappings at Nest. So, like, I've done a lot of like role play with that kind of stuff. And
oh, yeah. One of my friends who I'm going to Nest with was telling me about those.
Yeah.
About the kidnapping things. Like, you could sign up and do, like, I think that's neat, but also. Yeah,
it's really
like,
cool.
Like, I put no for mine when I registered because you know, there are some days where I might be tired.
Yeah.
And no, with my luck, the day that they choose to, I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah. No. And I tell people, like, a lot of people are like, oh my God, that sounds so cool. And I'm like, really think about it. Like, honestly, I do tell people, unless you are like very outgoing, very like, oh, like I would not suggest, and this is just me, like, you know, obviously people can do what they want, but I personally wouldn't suggest signing up for it if it's your first event ever, because it is, and not just NEST, all events, they're very overwhelming. They can be emotional, and it's just like, I help with them, like I learn for them, but I would never sign up to be kidnapped, even though like it's cool when it's hot and it would be fun, like, because I know that sometimes I'm not in the best headspace, and I know that about me, and I know that if they tried to do that to me and I was not in a good spot for it, it would not be good. So yeah, it's like, it's, you kind of, you have to know yourself. And listen, I don't think you know yourself until you go to one of these things, at least for the first time. Know yourself as far as like an event, obviously know yourself personally, but like it's different. So.
Well, yeah, the person that that's going to be driving me to the event and I'm going to room with, you know, he warned me, he said, well, they have these napping things, but I wouldn't recommend it if it's your first time going to NEST. So I took his advice and I was like, okay, you know what? I'll select no.
Yeah. And people do, and they have a good time. And I'm not trying to tell people they shouldn't, but
yeah,
think very, you know,
because but use best judgment.
Right. And a lot of people just are like, you know, they think with their genitals or whatever. And
it's yes,
like,
oh, yes,
that sounds so awesome. That sounds so hot. And it's like, no, really think about it. Like you're going, and not that these, I mean, and if someone really was like, I can't be tickled right now, like obviously they would be, you know, no one's going to tickle someone without their consent, but
exactly.
But yeah, it's like, you're just kind of, you don't know how you're going to necessarily feel. And if you're going to want to, you know, take part in that. And even for me, like I do it just because I'm really good friends with the people that host it. And, you know, I want to help them out and they always need female lures. So like I do it. And even me, I'm like, I sometimes get burnt out from it just because same thing, like I'm not in the great headspace and it's like, crap, I have to go tickle this stranger now, you know? So it's, I can't imagine being on the flip side of it.
Yeah, definitely. But, especially if the person that was doing it isn't like, I hate to say this with looks and stuff like that, but you know, like if you have your ideal napper, as it were,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you were taken, you know, when you're not in the mood, and yeah. also it's by someone you wouldn't
normally play with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause that's happened, you know, to me as the,
that
as
could
the
be lure. Wrong.
Yeah. That's happened to me like as a lure, where I'm like, this isn't someone that I would typically play with, but you kind of, you know, you push through it for the sake of the event and it's fine and whatever.
Yeah, but I'm thinking
it's fun because you're doing it, like, for me, like I always, you know, I take part in like usually like the public ones, and it's fun because it has a little bit of a theme and you get to dress up, and I do it with like my friends, so it ends up being fun, but it's nerve-wracking. And like, you know, you're doing it, like a lot of them are like said, they're public and they're like, there's like a whole audience of people watching you, and it's nerve-wracking. So
well, how do they usually like do the nappers do things differently depending on the napper, or is it
what kind of happens is, you know, you're given, if you want to, not everyone gets picked, and they say that the more creative your application is, the more likely you are to get picked.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, lifting the curtains up, that's not really true. Like it just depends on, they try to make them, you know, diverse. Like if it's all males wanting female lure, like they try to switch it up so that it's not just all the same people being tickled. Okay. It doesn't necessarily have to be a creative thing. It's more of just something that is fun, something that hasn't necessarily been done before, something that, and actually if you try to get too creative with it, like it's hard to do, you know, it has to be something like that's somewhat realistic.
Okay. Cause I was thinking when the person that I'm going with was telling me about it, like I was thinking in my head about this, and I was like, okay, is it like, you know, all of a sudden you're like hand gagged from behind and dragged away or something?
Kinda.
Or, so or like picked up, if they can pick you up.
What they do is they don't always pick new people, and sometimes it's a little bit harder when it's a new person because, you know, they're not as well known, and it's, you know, someone that's been going for years, it's like, okay, we have to find blah blah blah, and it's like, oh, I know where they're at, because, you know, you just get
to okay
as the years go on. But yeah, they've taken people like straight out of their room usually, like, so if they have to go get someone, there's enough people that know who the person is and who they typically hang out with. So like, you know, I'll get a text like, have you seen so-and-so? And it's like, I saw them 15 minutes ago. They were with blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, fine, blah, blah, blah. And then actually someone last year got taken out when they were like mid session, like they were about to start sessioning with someone else and they just came and got them. So
oh my.
Yeah, basically they'll find out where you are. And sometimes, you know, fourth wall, sometimes they don't find you and they'll take someone else that also signed up.
But they'll never take someone who wasn't on the list.
No, right? No. But like if they, you know, if there was someone who was like, oh, I want, you know, female lures, and there's two people that wanted that and they can't find the one, they'll just, you know, they'll take the other. I don't know how often that happens, but I know it does happen because I think someone one year, like they left or they just couldn't be, you know, sometimes you can't be found if you're in your room or if you're out to eat somewhere, you know.
Well, yeah. And plus with the size of how many people go, you know, it's probably hard to find one person.
Right. Right. And sometimes people will trick them. So like, which I've done before, like if they're like, oh, we need to find so-and-so, like I'll text them and be like, hey, can you bring me something? You know, and be like, yeah, be right down, like that kind of stuff. So you just find out whose people's friends are and find a way to get to them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah.
I also heard from the guy that I'm going with, he said that people are willing to do, like not talking about Nest itself, but, you know, if you have this general fantasy in general, you know, you can, since there's such a diverse group of people there, you can find someone that fits what fantasy you would like to do.
I mean, yes and no. It's, you know, everyone there is there for their own reason. So it's like, that's why they kind of say, and this isn't just Ness, this is just a gathering thing in general. Like a lot of times,
yeah,
they like, don't expect play because you can't guarantee something like that, you know? But there's a lot of people there. It's a great way to make connections. And as long as you're, I always tell people, like, as long as you're nice and friendly and open, you know, you'll most likely be able to find play. It doesn't always happen, okay, you know? Like, so I didn't play at my first event, mostly just, I was just too nervous. Sometimes people don't for whatever reason, like it's hard to navigate it because you can't promise someone that they're going to find a play partner. You know, there's no way to promise that.
Would you say that it's easier if you go with someone who was there past many times?
Probably just because they might know more people. I will say to just, you know that like, a lot of people are also like, I always hear people, they'll say like, oh, I was so nervous, I couldn't leave my room. And I just, you know, everyone knew each other. And it's like, it just seems like that. But Nest especially, I mean, there's usually 10 to 20, 25 new people each year. So like, you just have to kind of step outside of your comfort zone a little bit and be willing to talk to people and hang out with people and know that it's okay to be nervous and, you know, don't focus. I know that it's like seemed kind of, you know, counterproductive, but like, don't overly focus on finding play and you'll find play, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Cause the person that I'm going with, that's what he said too. When we were chatting about it. But he also said that if you have someone to help you, you know, stuff could happen a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. It's always easier to go to things when you know people already. And by extension, they know people. But you also have to, a lot of people don't. So it's like, and I try to be friendly as much as I can be, and everyone's very friendly, but you also have to keep in mind that like other people necessarily aren't comfortable like introducing themselves to a new person. So it's just, I just say, just go and put yourself out there and be friendly and be open and said, don't, play is important. And I don't like to chastise people for wanting to play. Cause there are some people that will do that. They'll be like, don't expect play, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you know, if you're flying across the country and you're spending $100 for a hotel room and plane tickets and food. And
yes,
like, I understand why people want to play, but on the flip side of that, it's, you can't force people to play with you.
Exactly.
So it's just, it's hard to navigate. And I said, you just go and just be friendly and involve yourself in different things. And I, like, if I had to give someone going to an event, like one piece of advice, I would say like, bring something that is like a talking piece. Like I know a good friend of mine at his first event, like he brought a Rubik's cube And it was a talking piece because he knew how to do it. So people, you know, he would just play with it. And people were like, oh my God, that's so cool. And it, you know, like have a funny t-shirt, have a cool board game, like put yourself out there as someone that people will want to socialize with. You know, if you're going to go and you're going to stand in the corner and you're going to look miserable the whole time, which also happens, then people are going to feed off that energy and they're not going to want to interact with you, you know? Mm-hmm. Like there's been years where it's like, there's, and I'm not going to name names obviously, or talk about specific circumstances, but like,
yeah,
you know, there was someone at a nest and it was like literally the first night and I went over and I was like, hey, like, you know, I'm Jenna. Nice to meet you. Like, how's it going? He was just like, I don't like it here. And I was just like, okay, like, I'm sorry. Is there any, and he's just like, no, I don't know. I don't belong here. And he just like kind of left. And it was like, I can't help you with that. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, he didn't go to any of the classes. And every time someone tried to talk to him, he just was really negative and like literally would just say that. And it was just like, well, no one's going to want to talk to you if when someone says hi, you just scowl at them. Like, you have to be a friendly person. Like, and I understand that, like, it's overwhelming and sometimes, you know, it's emotional. And that's why I tell people, like, it's a lot of fun. But if you're not emotionally ready for it, like, skip, you know, maybe wait a year. Like, because it is a lot and it is overwhelming. And this isn't just Ness. This is just gatherings in general. I mean, I've gone to, let's say, general kink events where I didn't know anyone. And it's hard. But if you're going to put out bad energy, you're going to get bad energy back, you know?
Yeah, I also heard if you go with someone who has been there before, it's usually more helpful.
Yeah, no, totally, 100%.
Yeah, because the guy I'm going with, he's been there for a few, like, a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it definitely is. And if you're new, I mean, I can't talk for every gathering, but for Nest, like, they do, like, newbie talks, and they do newbie chats, and they try to do, like, a newbie outing.
Yeah.
Because they do, you know, you do know that there are a lot of people that are new, and it is hard to put yourself out there when you don't know anyone. That's why, like, they have the Discord that people can kind of join, and that way they can kind of make the connections before they get there, because it is hard to make brand new connections on site, like, because there's so much going on and everyone's really busy and preoccupied. So, like, it is good to come with a foundation of already knowing people, whether it's online or through a friend or whatever. So I definitely, like, suggest that as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I found out for the person that I'm going with, apparently a fair amount of guests that I've had on this podcast are going as well.
Oh, so cool.
He's gonna see if I can connect with them too.
Cool. You should do like a podcast on site or something. That'd be cool.
That's what he suggested.
Yeah, definitely.
Except he suggested that I should get tickled while talking on the podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm like, okay, so, well, here's the thing. I only upload the audio, as you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is someone really going to listen to my audio laughter without seeing the visualization of me being tickled?
Right, maybe.
Because I know for me, like, you know, the vocals are good, but I'd also like to see.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, it couldn't hurt, right?
Yeah, like he said something about maybe, like, you know, inviting a few lures into like our hotel room and just having a discussion with them, and maybe like they, you know, tickle my feet like halfway through when I'm talking,
yeah,
or something.
No, that'd be cute. I think you should do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So moving on to another thing. One thing that I, in most recent episodes, I've asked this, and people seem to like the question. Mm-hmm. If you had to have, so this works both ways. If you had to choose any celebrity, like TV, movie, singer, you know, newscaster, etc., like if you were to be, from both ends, if you were to be tied up and tickled by someone, who would you choose? And the exact opposite, like, who would you choose? Nice. And it can be multiple people too, just not one.
Okay. Probably for either, and I know that controversial right now because she's a little bit canceled, but I love me some Mila Kunis.
Some what?
Mila Kunis. I love her. Mila Kunis and Jessica Alba. Or some of my other, Justin Long, I love him. Mm. And this is for like both, like Lee and Lart.
Okay. So Switch, basically.
Yeah. Those would probably be my top three.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's always interesting to see who people would pick.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm bi, I would obviously choose both men and women. Yeah.
Oh, Emmy Rossum too. Add her.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. with me, it's mostly I don't watch that much TV anymore. Like when I was in my 20s and teens, I did. So most of my picks would be like stuff that I grew up with.
Gotcha.
You know, and I know what the actors look like now, and they still look good. So, you know, even if it's in their, you know, like when I was younger, I'm trying to think. Okay, so definitely the singer and actress Hilary Duff. That was one of them.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think for the male actor side, part of me would say Drake Bell.
Oh, okay. So you're like a Disney and Nickelodeon kid.
Yeah. Definitely 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
No, I'll raise you and I would do Josh Peck over Drake Bell any day.
I would take the Josh Peck currently, not the one when we were all teens, but the current one. I have seen the current one.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, I would take that one.
Yeah. And he's funny. Apparently,
Drake, Oh, my God. Yes, he is. Yes, I've heard that. I have heard that, which only makes him need to get tickled more. That's why.
There you go.
but yeah, and I also, I'm trying to think. There's so many good ones that I would. So as far as females also, I think I would do. Oh, I know what one for male. Okay, so The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh, that's too young for me.
Well, no, I mean like they're adult forms now. They're in their like 20s and 30s.
No, I know, but I mean like I didn't watch that. I'm like I don't. That's like the twins, right?
Yeah. That was mid 2000s when I was starting to become a teen. Okay, maybe a bad example. Maybe something like I'm trying to think of 90s because that's what I grew up with a lot. Let me think. I can't really think. I can think of cartoon characters from the 90s. Like I can think of that, but as far as actresses or actors, I don't know. Oh, Melissa Joan Hart.
90s baby. Yeah.
Yes. Melissa Joan Hart. Yes. You know, and she's in her 40s now and still looks good. So I would, fantasy wise, I would, you know, in her like nowadays, you know, because I've seen how she looks in her 40s. She still looks good.
Yeah. Oh, no, she really does.
Yeah. And also on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, she did, like, you know, this goes back to my foot fetish. You know, she was barefoot a lot when I was a teen watching that. So it was.
Was Dan Schneider a producer?
No. This was before Schneider went on Nickelodeon. Because the last Sabrina the Teenage Witch episode was 2002, 2003. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like a year or two before Schneider started, maybe.
Talk about giving one of us a bad name. I hate that guy.
Yeah, I've heard.
I guess, liked him because teenage me enjoyed it. But as an adult,
I will say his shows were creative.
Yeah.
But the stuff that he did to people is.
Yeah. As an adult, I'm like, what a fucking creep.
Yeah. You know, like, I know. So I try not to punish the show just because of a bad creator.
Like
he is a creep and he should be canceled and he is really bad, but you know, some of the his shows
right now, was he in All That Person? I love All That. Like,
yeah, I think he literally, I don't remember show. If he was All That, I don't remember.
Let me look. Like that, I think
he was the Amanda Show. I think he was that. He was also Drake and Josh.
He helped to create all that. Drake and Josh. Keenan and Kel. A lot of stuff. Yeah.
Oh yes, Keenan and Kel. Oh my God, I love Keenan and Kel. Kel is so hilarious. Oh my God. Especially when he says the orange soda bit.
That era of 90s show. Oh my God, so good. But yeah, he was like in all of them. But yeah.
It's just a shame about what he did, though. That's
And I'm just like, how stupid can you be? Like, did you think that you eventually wouldn't get, like, I don't even know if it was caught. Like, I don't think he actually did anything, but like, he was.
Well,
just,
it was power. It was power. Yeah. He had the power and he abused it.
And it was just like, I don't know. Like, I know for me, like, if that was me, I would not, like, I would be so overly cautious about, like,
so there was
with children.
So there was I saw a trailer for a documentary about Schneider.
Oh really? I'll have to watch.
I forget the name of it, but I saw, like, you can search for it on YouTube because I saw the clip on YouTube. It interviews they're adults now, but it interviews like former child actors and their experiences with Dan.
Yeah.
And how bad it was. Like, it wasn't just with, like, the feet stuff and all that.
Wouldn't he just be general creeps? Yeah. Which is, like, creepy enough in and of itself as, like, a producer. But, like, obviously when these, like, kids are underage, it's just it's another level.
It also, you know, in the clip that I saw, one, there was a parent of a former actor who said that she tried to confront him and tried to punch him and she was unsuccessful. Apparently security dragged her out.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of the trailer, because I didn't see the documentary, but at the end of the trailer, it said that a former child actress was coming to reveal herself and who and what happened to her. But in the trailer, it blocked her face. So I don't know who it is.
Was he ever actually, like, charged with anything, or was he just kind of canceled?
He was canceled.
Okay.
From what I read, he wasn't charged. If he was charged, he would probably be behind bars.
Mm, yeah.
I would hope he would be behind bars if he were charged.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he wasn't, since he's not behind bars.
Yeah, I'm looking into it now. It doesn't look like it. Oh.
But yeah, it's you know, going back to, you know, not to dwell on Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
it's sad that most of our fantasy kinks when we were younger, seeing shows of people our own age at the time, came from someone who wasn't good.
Right. Which is a shame, because, like, looking back, it's like, yeah, like, I totally would, like, thirst after, like, all that. Like, they had so much tickling in them. But, like, now as an adult, I'm like, ooh. But, like, as a kid, it's fine, because they're your age, if not older. But
yeah, totally.
Looking back, you're just like, it's a very, like, weird internal conflict, because it's like, no, it's fine. At the time, it was fine because I also was underage, but now it's like, as an adult, it's just, it feels weird.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, like nowadays, I wouldn't say, oh yeah, the 33-year-old me would want to tickle torture the 15-year-old Lizzie McGuire. No,
right.
That would be too creepy. You know, but
yeah,
you know,
but it's like, you can still 12, remember, like,
14-year-old me would probably, yeah,
right. You know. But, like, you can still remember the feeling of, like, seeing it and being like, oh my gosh. But yeah. But I guess that goes with anything, though. I guess, like, as a teenager, you have crushes on other teenagers, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It also goes back to that whole fantasy versus reality thing we were talking about earlier too.
Yeah.
Yes, I had, you know, television and movie crushes, but I'm not going to actively, you know, search out Drake Bell to get his feet, or I'm not going to actively, you know, try to get Hillary Duff to be tickle tortured. Okay. You know,
good luck if you do. I'm sure you'd make a lot of money if you manage to get a video.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, the money could pay for my bail from jail.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, it's just so, I don't know. Thankfully, no, I don't want to say all of us, but thankfully most of us grew out of, you know, these immature fantasies, I would say.
Yeah.
Like immature older. As far as like...
They're childhood crushes. And yeah, as you get older, it's...
Yeah.
It's just different. And it's... I think that's normal. Like, we just happen to like tickling, but I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah, definitely. And it's... Well, I do know there are some... Okay, so have you heard... Well, you probably... Since you're not into feet, you probably don't know. There's this wiki
site
called Wiki Feet.
I know.
They put celebrities, like male and female celebrities, on.
Yeah.
And you can search for like almost any celebrity. They don't have every single celebrity, but
yeah.
You can search for celebrities.
I know of it. So I don't really like feet, so I don't really, but I know of it. And I actually know, like, they go pretty Z-list, because I actually have I'm not going to say a friend, but like, someone who does a podcast that I follow, and like, we're friendly, like they're not very big, and you know, we follow each other on social media and like, you know, text a little bit here and there, but like, she's on there and she was talking about it once, and she's like, oh, it's so creepy. So like, yeah.
Well, that is odd.
Yeah. And because people like, she's like a Z-list, like I wouldn't even really consider her a celebrity, and like, she's on it. So it's just, all it takes is one person to get a picture of her feet.
Although I did hear this one female celebrity was trying to get more views for her Wiki Feet once.
I believe it.
I don't know who it was, but she found out.
Just like, mm-hmm. like anything. I don't know. It's just, it's a, I get why people are creeped out by it, but I also get why it's like, if you're a public figure, that's going to happen. Like,
yeah. It's like, well, get out of the public realm, you know, if you don't like.
Cause like, I think about like, I'm like, I don't have a foot fetish per se, but I don't mind feet stuff, and I try to think like how I would feel if I was a celebrity, which I would never be, but if I was, like, if I was on there, I guess I wouldn't really mind. I don't know, but I, you know, I understand why people do, so I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it also, I do know this one celebrity who didn't like about the feet stuff, but she still showed it. I forget who it was. Someone kept asking them to show, I follow their Instagram, and she's always asked for feed stuff because she showed it. I kind of course, after this episode, I'll probably remember.
Yeah, as soon as you, yeah.
Yeah, it's so odd. It's not Christy Carlson Romano. It's another one. It was Disney, I think, of some sort. I know. Okay. So in the early 2000s, there was this show called Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
Okay. I never watched it, but I'm familiar. Yeah.
And the character who played Jennifer Mosley, I forget her name, her real name offhand. Her, the guy who played Ned and the guy who played Cookie, do a podcast together, and she has talked that people have commented on her Instagram page to see her feet, all because she posted like a close up one time of her soles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they like, it's like a running gag joke on the podcast. I think a few months ago they had an episode talking about it, and I think his name is Daniel Werkgeiser, who played Ned. He wasn't serious, but he was joking. He was like, okay, for each subscriber we get to our podcast, we will send you a picture of Lindsay's toes. He was joking, of course, but...
Yeah. I believe that it would get views.
Yeah, she kind of like slapped him over the head and said, don't you tell you that to
That's funny. Yeah, see, if I was a celebrity, I'd probably lean into it, but...
What was that?
If I was a celebrity, I'd probably lean into it to an extent.
yeah, definitely. It's just so funny that you know, I like when celebrities joke about stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, yeah, it's kind of wrong to think about that. It's, you know, it's kind of creepy, but if the celebrity can make a joke about it, then by all means.
Yeah. But I also think, like, if the celebrity doesn't, like anything else, like if the person doesn't like it, then like people need to leave them alone, you know, which
exactly. Like,
but guys exactly. don't know how to leave people alone. Not all, but a lot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I can see that. I guess that will be it since it's over an hour and a half
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, and I'm excited to meet you at Nest in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, thank you so much for being on here. Yeah. I've been trying to increase my female podcast guests.
Yeah.
I've been slowly increasing to even out, you know, the male-female ratio.
Yeah. Yeah, people are always talking about, like, the ratio, and I'm like, it definitely does skew more towards men, but we exist.
Women do yeah, exist. Yeah. well, I have, it's so funny. I have I do have female listeners of the show, and several females that I know, you know, on Instagram, Twitter/X, you know, mm-hmm. they all say that they love the discussions on this podcast. But if I ask them, oh, well, you know, since you listened to so many episodes, would you like to be on? They're like, oh, no, thank you. Or, oh, I don't know.
Interesting. You know, as soon as I.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I think you cut out for a minute. Yeah, I think she cut out. Okay, I guess we'll end now.
Wait, hello?
You're back? Oh. You're back? Yeah, you cut out for like 30 seconds there.
Sorry. I don't know what happened, but no.
You were going to say?
I just said, like, my favorite topic is myself, and my second favorite topic is kink. So, a podcast talking about myself.
Oh, yes. Yes. Favorite topic is yourself, and favorite topic is your kinks. And it can be used interchangeably.
Yeah. 100%.
Cool. Yes. Okay. Well, that will be it for this episode of the Kinksters Attic. Until next time.
Do I say?